Yeah. Mine and Luke's good looks and intellectual abilities and everything got us in good stead with everybody over there. So we met a few of the youth over there. But it's not improved Luke's presentation, because this is his notes for today. So he can read that later if he wants to. we went bowling. I'll tell you about this one. And Luke managed to lob it down the side in the gully every time, just about, for nearly one game. And then on the second game, it must have been the last turn, he got two strikes. Yeah. They had to relay the surface once he'd finished. So, that was funny. And we met a nice couple there, and we had some good time with them. That was a really good exercise. And then when we arrived, the first day we went to Walmart. That was amazing. It looked just like Asda. So, fancy that. That was good, and we bought some interesting items from there. So, but one of the things we bought was a Nerf, which probably none of you know a clue what we're going on about. But it's like a ball that flies through the air and spins and makes a noise, which is incredibly irritating. But that's me and Luke, innit? So. But yeah, like that's what I was just gonna say. That you're ahead of us. It was when everybody else came on the Wednesday. We started to. Was it Thursday? No, it was Wednesday. Wednesday or whatever day it was. me and Luke were throwing this thing around, and it kind of helped us to get to know all the youth out there. So we met a cheerleader. Yeah. I think that was partly because I was there, but. A kid called Randy. Oh, if you had that name in Britain, you'd. Oh dear me. But he was massive, weren't he? He was like, how old was he?
14,
and he was bigger than Luke. So, and wider as well, yeah. So, but I can understand why. But I must add that I didn't gain a pound and no weight whatsoever while over there. So that just shows how much self-control I've got. So. 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 But yeah, the food was lovely. I can understand why Uncle Andrew got carried away. But no, yeah, it was good. And they kept taking us to these buffet places. So when you go to a buffet, you can't just stop. You've got to eat it all, haven't you? Keep going, and it's free. Some of it's free when you think about it. And they get a portion in some places. It's, eat away. So yeah, we had a good, all the meals were good. And all the stuff we ate actually at the place we were stopping was good as well. And like I said, with the Nerf, we got to know all these people. And then, does anybody remember Wanda and James when they came out? Good, so that's good. But they've adopted two children. One's 10 now, and the other one is about 5 or 6. But they are brothers, but they're adopted. So we got to know them halfway through the week.
Yeah.
Roughly, well, probably a bit over half. And we went jousting, went out with them, and we made a right racket. We actually got told off, can you believe that? For making so much noise. It just seems to follow us. People just don't like us. But yeah, we had a brilliant time. We really enjoyed that. It was a lot different to what we have in Britain. There's nothing. They should introduce it over here. Whew, everyone would go. Eating with your fingers suited Luke down to the ground. So, could get food all over him and no one cared. It was dark as well, so. But, that was brilliant. And then we got to know them well, pretty much that day went shopping with them and stuff. They were a blessing to us because they sent over some stuff with Graham afterwards to thank us because we'd kind of been. They said in this letter, which is no one's ever said this before, we'd been a positive influence on their children. That's weird. So, but yes. We really did like them too. They were two of the loveliest lads that we've ever met, really. And they were brilliant. They were very athletic and fun to be around, so we really enjoyed that. Oh, yes. Best talk about the meetings, aren't we? But we had a brilliant time there. And then we got to the meetings. There were a couple of days of meetings. We went from, like, the Wednesday to the Sunday. And there were a variety of speakers, really. And a lot of the stuff that they said just clarified what we'd been going over as a church. We touched on worship. We touched on revelations as well, which Uncle Andrew has gone over a few months back now. But still, it was something we've covered. Job, he's covered that. I need to go through these notes. And then also GC talked about one name of God that we hadn't of Jesus or God that we didn't know, and that was Bara, and he likened it to my dad. Oh, who should I have? Somebody a bit older? No, I'll just think about my granddad. My granddad is known as a dad to my dad, as a granddad by us, and then. Like a husband by my grandma. So it's all the different names, and that's what I was saying with God. He's got all these different names. It's just like you can refer to him from like a different thing. So yeah, Bara, that was the word that came with. I can't remember. Yeah, he creates out of nothing. So that was good. And then Uncle Andrew spoke on the last night. It was Sunday. So it was the last day meeting, last speaker. And it was phenomenal. It was made England feel proud, he did. Oof. Blew all the crowds away. Made everybody laugh. Because a lot of the speakers over there are very serious. And they wander around. And you can get lost, I think, if you go from one end of the Bible to the other. And then all around it. By the time you're done, you don't know where you are. Uncle Andrew was to the point. He summed up the whole of the week, really, in what he said. Like I said, made everyone laugh, which is always good. I think you've got to make people laugh. If you're too serious, then people are a bit depressed at the end of it, can't you? That was good. He was a blessing to them with his message on the Sunday. So that was good. And then the last 2 days... We just spent getting to know more people. We saw Gail, who came over. She was almost more like me and Luke last time. Got to meet her and went down to the main town, Athens, which is like the main area of that, well, the town in that area. And we went to the university, so that was different. That was an interesting day. We ate a bit of food and spent a bit of time talking about certain things, so we're in touch with her now, so that was good. But one of the speakers, I think, I can't remember his name, but it was the larger person. Yeah, that one, yes. He touched on, he said something about, if he's got all these millionaires, if they gave $1 million to, just say, a ministry such as ours or the one in America, imagine what we could do with all that money. And that was something that I think stuck out to me more, because that's pretty much what I want to do. While we're over there, giving was a major thing, like it's always been when they come over here. And I think it sums up when all the money I took, I probably gave more than I spent. That was partly due to the fact that we didn't go out that much to many places. So I thought, I've got to get rid of it somehow. But it's in a way, that's an achievement for me, because normally I would have not done that, I'd have spent it all on rubbish. And we did all right. We didn't buy that much rubbish. We bought a whoopee cushion, which is good fun. But they made a few. We got so many Americans with that. Oh, the faces. If we got them faces on camera, you'd have been hysterics. Yeah, it did. Yeah, Mac loves stamping on it. And it was good to have him there because we now know Carol a lot better. We know Mac a lot better. He now respects Uncle Andrew. He now realises why we're all scared of him. So, but yeah, that was good for him. He was very well behaved on the way there and throughout most of the time we're there. So we were very 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 happy on to be with him and to be an influence on him, hopefully. And he blessed them over there with his cute looks and all the words he kept coming out with. They learnt a few names as well, so like I said, he knows Andrews now. So, and Grandad, Edwin's now his granddad. So, but great granddad's dad, yeah, my dad is great granddad somehow. So, but we didn't have any complications coming through. It was good flights and everything, so that was good. There's only Carol that we arrived in. Was it Chicago? Yeah, and she got whisked away by the security bloke with Mackenzie. So we prayed a little bit, and it weren't long, was it? About 20 minutes, something like that. While we got his baggage and we were off, so. It was apart from that, we had a good time and we really enjoyed it. Okay. Who's next? Oh, do you want to speak? Oh, yeah, you can say this.
No.
All right, then. Who's next? All right, then.
The jet lag, how to beat jet lag, was given to us by two people, Mike, who's a pilot, and Corey, who's his wife, and she's an air stewardess. And I asked her, I said to her, you work in this environment all the time, how do you beat jet lag? And it was through her that she told us about the sunlight. I mean, she gave us the pat answers they give you in the magazines, plenty of water, light meals, da-da-da-da-da. It was her that told us about the sunlight and going out for 2 hours. Can you keep Mike in your prayers? Because he's a pilot. He's doing internal airlines in America. And there's a great fear over there. I think that shows with the security. And I did say to him on the last day, I'll pray for you, Mike. You're doing an important job. And up to that point, Mike had been a very closed person. But I got this tremendous big smile off him when I said that to him. So he's really, both of them are very dear to us. And Randy, who the 14-year-old, I mean, we didn't tell Mackenzie his name because the last thing we wanted him doing was shouting this name out, you know. I just felt one day the Spirit say to me, he reminded me that we were in America because somebody had given us in February some seed which we'd planted for an air ticket to America. And there we were. And I just got it in my spirit that Randy should come, because I could see he's very naive. Doesn't go very far. Georgia is like Dukes of Hazzard. It's very closed. Yeah, it's really, you know, how you're doing and all this type of thing. It's very country and very... And so I explained to Randy how we'd had this seed given us and how we'd got this air fare. And I said to Philip, have you got any English money? And we gave him a £5 note and we said to him, you are to seed this to come to Britain next year. Well, he went in and he told his mum. And his mum just said, oh, no, you're not. But I thought, he's going to be there. And the next day, he came to me as we were having in the dining bit, choosing the breakfast, and he said, I've been to see GC, and Bob's been to see me, and I'm coming to England next year. So that, you know, that's a marvellous thing. That you always tickets paid for. Bob said the tickets paid for. So, and it was. It's been a lovely chill out, really, and a much needed chill out. But are we taping this now? Right. But before going to America, I'd emailed Sammy and Brenda, and I said to them how excited I was, and that I was looking forward to going to the big country. And I didn't realise what I said, because everything's big over there. Big appetites, big portions, big distances. A 10-minute walk to the shop here is a 20-minute drive over there. A 20-minute drive to the shopping mall over here is a 2-hour one over there. And the hospitality, wow, that was big. They just have a big desire to please you and a big desire to pamper your every need, including buying us some Twinings tea bags so that we had a decent cuppa. That just made it for me. The open space and the vastness in the land just emphasises how big America is. But for me, there was another side of it, another experience. Now, when I was young, Joan and you might remember this, and Ivy and Margaret, on a Sunday we used to have a Sunday roast at home. And there always used to be some meat left. And the Monday was washing day. Did you ever have washing day? And my mum had a single tub, top loader, with an electric mangle. Girls, you know, she was... But what she used to do is, she used to get the meat that was left over, and she used to clamp this machine at the side of the table. And she used to get the meat and put it at the top, and then she used to turn this handle, and it would mince it into mincemeat. But I tell you, that mincing machine was a mean machine. I mean, it was awful. Then she'd take the mincemeat, put the pastry over, and that was lunch that day. Now you may be thinking, why she mentioned this? I am not doing a GC. I'm not going on a rabbit run. Well, the mincing of the meat was a bit like what I went through over there in Georgia. Because physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, something went off that I just had no idea was going to go off. And I had problems coping with it. Even at times when we were meeting with our American friends, I found I just had to go into my room and have a real cry out and then go back, because I just couldn't cope with all that was going off. And part of this was because at home I'd made a decision. I'd made a decision about an action I was going to pursue once we got back from America. And before we left, I said, Lord, I'm going to do this unless I hear otherwise from you. And on the night of the second meeting, God gave me a word. And I was just overwhelmed that God had just spoken into this situation. He just made it black and white, the intention. But the following day, there was the mincing going off emotionally, physically. And even though the intensity left after the meetings, even though we've come home, I found I've been chewing people's heads off. For instance, Friday night, I was just getting to sleep and Philip decided to snore. So I thought, right. And I got the pillow and I meant to just move it, and I yanked it. And he woke up and he says, what you done that for? I just got to sleep. And I thought, I've done it again. And the days back from the holiday have been a day. At work, it seems I've been chewing somebody's head off, or even the kids. And Friday, it even affected a very close friend of mine. I said something I shouldn't have said. And at 12 o'clock that night, in the early hours, he just woke me up. And he gave me Psalm 89. If you want to find Psalm 89. It was something I'd read that morning. And it really struck both Philip and I what God was saying here. And in the King James Version, it starts off in Psalm 89, verse 30 to 34, I'm going to read. In the New King James, it says, "If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor my faithfulness to fail." And it was the following that stood out of the page: "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone from out of my lips." But I like the New Living Translation because it says it like this, that last bit. "But I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word." So, it was just, there's the Israelites. They broke his statues. They didn't keep his commandments. They were going to reap what they sowed. But God at the end was saying, "I'm not going to break my covenant. I'm not going to take back a single word of my promise." And it applies to us today. And I've had problems sometimes understanding God's covenant. It's been a difficult concept for me. And on Friday night, I was praying for this friend. And I was saying, "God, let the heart of my friend be big enough to forgive me, Father." He cut in, God, and he said, "Zena, it's none of your business. I need you to take hold of verses 33 and 34, that I will never stop loving you, I'll never fail to keep my promise to you, I will not break my covenant, and I won't take a single word back from you." All the damage I'd done to family, for friends, work colleagues, I've got to stop beating myself because he's never going to stop loving me. And, he highlighted it by emphasising it through a quote. And Daniel and Luke, I want you to listen to this because this is going to be my epitaph when I die. It comes from a book written by my favourite author, Jane Austen. It's from a book called Persuasion. And in the last part of the book, there's a heroine, Anne Elliot, discussing with a Captain Harvel. They're debating whether a man's love is more constant than a woman's, or vice versa. And Anne Elliot brings her argument in defence of women, and she sums it up this way. She says, "All the privilege I claim for my own sex, it is not a very enviable one, you need not covet it, is that of loving longest, when existence or when all hope is gone." And that's the part that God personalised. That I have loved longest, when existence or when all hope is gone. It sums it up. It's what God's covenant love is all about. No matter how we like, what we feel, what we may be going through, his love is so big, so endless, so eternal. There's hope for us all.
To be a blessing, they only wanted half of that financing because they were going to pay half that. So I think they wanted $10,000, and they said, "We only want $5,000 to cover to cover the costs. We're going to put the other half in as a fellowship. And they took one offering up and took in over $7,000. And it wasn't particularly, probably another 10 or 15 people more than we've got in here. And the next day they took another offering, because they said anything above or beyond the five was going to be given out for missions. They've got a heart for missions to give into that. And they took in just about another $7,000 that day. And they were able to give into these missions. The main one they were giving into was the Philippines. And this young man, I can't remember his name now. Tommy, isn't it? Tommy. Lovely lad. Only a young man, really. Young family. And he just could see he was overwhelmed. That they were just literally throwing money around. You know, we want to give you some more money. Here, take some more money. And it was just, and then that was it. It was finished. Right, let's get on with the teaching. But it was not all this begging. But it was, God had put on everybody's heart what to give.
Yeah.
And people gave, and it was met, and it was out of the way, finished, done. And they were able to bless that. Plus all the speakers were blessed. What we heard was very basic.
Yeah.
It was very, well, just look at the word and do what it tells you to do, basically. And he said, split it down into little bits. Mm. You know, just take a verse. Don't try and take too much, because then you can't understand it. And it was really basic teaching, and it wasn't intense, it was a lot of basic teaching. But it came from every different angle, because there were four or five different speakers, and each one came from a different angle.
Yeah.
Looking at a slightly different topic, but it all came together. So it was really good, it was encouraging. We could just about understand everybody. But we've got the tape, so Bill will be running some off, I would think. So they're worth listening to.
Oh, man,
they're not heavy, they weren't long.
No.
Sometimes GC takes a little bit of following, because he does go off on a rabbit trail, and then people have to say, are you going to finish that? Are we going to get the other points before you finish? But it was encouraging. But the one bit that really stood out to me, one of the main parts stood out. We've got a responsibility.
Yeah.
Because we're sons.
Mm.
We're not just anybody.
Yeah.
And it was a very simple message that came on Sunday morning before Andrew.
Mm.
It was Sammy.
Mm.
In fact, I thought Andrew weren't going to get a chance to get on, because Sammy set off. And they don't mess about with praise and worship. We're straight into the word and let's get on with it. And he set off, and I thought, my goodness, you know, dinner's about 12, and he's going off here, and I thought, Andrew's not going to get on here. They'll be doing a Monday night or something. But God had got it all in hand. And he just used a few scriptures. And he looked at Romans 8:14. That's where he started off. Romans 8:14 just says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God.
Mm.
We're sons of God.
Mm.
Yes. You bring this to some denominations and you'd get, you know, it would be going out now.
Mm.
Because, you know, you're a son of God. But this is what the word says. This is what they were saying, and GC was saying. Well, if it says it, it means it, basically. You know, if you're led by the Spirit, you're a son of God. And it goes on in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
We are.
Yeah.
Not we're going to be. And then it goes on into verse 17, and if children, then heirs.
Yeah.
Heirs of God.
Yeah.
Well, an heir Luke's my heir. He'll get everything I own when I release this mortal coil. Car will be old by then, mine, so it'll not be worth much. But everything I own is yours and Daniel's. Yeah, my shirt, my trousers. Everything. Well, I they do borrow things, yeah. But we're heirs of God. So everything that God owns, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine, diamonds, food, it's ours. And joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
So that's big brother. It says, if so that we suffer with him. Oh no. That we may be glorified together. There's another, somebody did talk on suffering, and it's not, we get the wrong idea of suffering. Suffering's not suffering, because it says somewhere that it's joy and peace. To suffer with Christ is joy and peace. So it's not a bad thing, suffering. But we are his heirs, we are heirs, we are children of his. And in 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3, it goes on again. Long page. On John 3, 2 and 3. And it says, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear, yet appear, that we shall, what we shall be. But we know that we shall be, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we'll be like Jesus. We like him, we're sons of God, we're brothers with Jesus. I mean, these two boys that were adopted by Wanda and James, and they are blood brothers. They're from the same family. And they've gone through a rough time. They came from a bad family. And they were undernourished. But they've spent time with them, with the children. And the fellowships back them up. And I mean, it's wonderful to see that this huge family these two children have got, that all love them. All are feeding them physically and spiritually. And it was wonderful to see that we're the same. Yeah, we've been adopted by God, and he's feeding us. And we've got this wonderful family. You know, we go 5,000 miles, and there's a family there to meet us, smiling, you know.
Yeah.
Within the first hour, they were feeding us.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Cookie and cream milkshake. Oh, how wonderful. I'm sure they're not fattening at all. I only had one. I had it nearly last year week. It was so thick it would hardly come through the straw. All the lumps of cookie in it and all the cream and ice cream. Oh, it was gorgeous. But they were there. That God's the same. He wants to give us the best.
It does.
It was nice, actually. Yeah. But Psalm 91 also goes on to say, in verse 14, it says, Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Because we set our love on God, on Jesus, therefore will I deliver him. Or deliver Helen, or deliver Andrew, or deliver Philip. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Because we know the name of God, he's going to set us on high. You know, we did sail through, because I was wondering about, you know, security and this and that and the other. I mean, we're quite good at slipping shoes off, coats off, and putting them into a basket and things like that, you know. And then we'd getting undressed and dressed again in public. But you just have to go through the world system. But God says, no, I've gone before you, I've sorted it all. You've still got to deal with that, but I'll make your way easy. And it was ever so easy. We had one that was a bit upset. Where was that one? In Georgia, It was a bit stern, but just had a bad day. But it didn't stop our progress. He was having a bad day, but it didn't hold us up any. You know, we were through and we were sorted. So if nothing else, we're sons of God. We're heirs to all that is God. And we've just got to remember that. Andrew said it earlier, you know, we've just got to believe, we've got to focus on the word. I mean, the main bit Andrew's mentioned about the title, Days of Destiny. God says, change your address. Change your address. It doesn't mean we've all got to go and leave, you know, move house. But it's just, where do you live? The word tells us that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So you've got to change your address. And it's getting rid of the junk mail. That's what it was all on about. Andrew gave an illustration that he's trying to change his email address because he's getting so much junk mail. And he's finding it difficult at the moment to change this address. The system won't let him. But he knows he's got to do it. And God's telling us, change your address. Get rid of the junk mail. You know, look to me. Look to my promises. You know, if I tell you you are something or you can have something, you can have this. I mean, GC doesn't mess about with bills. You know, he doesn't say, oh, well, you know, I bought this and it was my bill and I can't pay this. He just says, right, lay them out. Just say, God, these are your bills from your child, from your son. Could you sort them out and pay them? And he does. You know, he just sits back and they're paid. You know, I mean, he had an accident in his van. His foot slipped off his brake pedal and he sideswiped his son's car. And he did quite a mess of his doors and things like that. And he went, well, there's only $1,700, all that. And but before they'd finished, people had been, oh, don't worry, we'll take care of that. We've sorted, you know, paid for it. He just didn't lose sleep over it. But we lose sleep, don't we? Worry about all this, that and the other. But we've just got to get into this. Amen.
It definitely was all about basics. And the thing that came across to me was, if we'll get the foundation right, everything else will fall into place. If you don't want to be a roller coaster Christian, if you want to be steadfast, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever, there's one answer. And we all know it. Keep my word ever before you. And if you look at Psalm 1, the first thing he says, he contrasts the way of the man of God to the way of the man of the world, and they're totally opposite. But the man of God always gives God first place in his life. Psalm 34, delight yourself in... No, that's Psalm 37. Psalm 34. Children. Oi. I think they need separating, Andrew. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. There's only one way in God. If we're going to be constant, if we're not going to be roller coaster Christians, then we need every day to give God his space. And that's the thing that came across, this thing Tommy said. It's the thing, it was the whole thing that kept coming to me. If I don't want to be a victim of my circumstances, if I want to remain constant and steadfast, no matter what's going on around me, then there's only one answer. I've got to give God his place. And his place is, I don't know, some are more nocturnal creatures than me, but I'm a morning person. And the only time I can really, if I don't give God half an hour to an hour in the morning, then the day just passes and you get to the end of the day and you're shocked and that's it. And the devil weakens us if we don't give God some place in our lives every day. And I can't emphasize it enough. There's people going, if you don't want to be a victim of fear, if you don't want to be a victim of rejection, if you want to overcome temptation, if you don't want to be a victim of depression, then there's one way I can promise you, you will not be ruled by circumstances if you follow the word of God. Lay this foundation every day. Get a word from God every day. Hear his voice every day. It's like going to Father. It's like, a name will come to me, Michaela's children. They run and sit on her knee and immediately there's this comfort, there's this confidence, there's this security, there's peace. Well, Mummy's taking care of everything, or Daddy's taking care of everything. Kids, when they're stressed, they run straight to Daddy or Mummy and jump on the knee and suddenly everything's all right. It's all right. I can't tell you how many times Mackenzie said to Andrew, okay, okay, okay. It's okay. And you know, we need to run on Daddy's knee and hear him say, it's okay. I've got today organized. I've ordained your footsteps. Every step of your way, today I've been before you. I've made a way where there is no way. You can remain steadfast, confident. You can delight yourself in me. You can rejoice. You can go carefree in a careful world because I'm taking care of everything. I'll defeat your enemies. I'll bring you out victorious. If we want to be healthy, wealthy and wise, there's only one answer. Take the word of God every day and don't let the devil pull the rug from under you. Don't let him get you nervous about anything. God is in control. He ordained your life. He brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this. We've heard it already. He will perfect what concerns you. And the word of God, David knew what it was to soak in the presence of God. And it was because he soaked in the presence of God that he lived a constant life, a fearless life, a joyful life, a peaceful life, a wealthy life. And he always, God always caused him to triumph. Now, can you tell me, is there any other way to live? We have no option. And I don't want any other option. I don't want any other way to live. I just want to live constant in the one who's constantly looking after me. And David knew the secrets of relationship with God to deliver him from all the torments of the devil. And that's what came across to me this week. You know, there was in Mega Shift, it talks there about... They did a survey of mental patients and they asked these mental patients to write a short portion. And after they'd written these portions, they took them in and they analysed them. And there was one thing common in all of them. And it was this, the word I. Every sixth word was the word I. Now, can you see a pattern? If you're always looking inside, if you're always focused on you, you'll go down and down and down, and the devil will take you to the gutter and below if there's anywhere else you can go. He'll drop you in the sewer. He'll take you through the mincing machine. He will make your life hell if you're focused on I. But God says, to John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. The only way to get that to happen is to take in more of the Word of God. on a daily basis. Focus it, kids, before you go to school. If you want excellence, if you want success, if you don't want to be a victim of this world's situations, then get this word in your heart and don't let it out of your eyes. Don't let it out of your sight. What did God say to Joshua? He said, keep my word ever before you and you will have prosperity. You will have success. You will not be afraid of the enemy. You will triumph. You will be victorious. And that to me is the very thing that God has said this week. There's no other way to live. God wants us constant, fearless, steadfast, unmovable, sure. He wants us on the rock, Christ Jesus, and that's the way. Amen.